Direct from San Diego, it's blindbargains.com coverage of CSUN 2014. The biggest names,
provocative interviews,
and wall-to-wall exhibit hall coverage. Brought to you by the American Foundation for the Blind.
The Journal of Visual Impairment and Blindness is an essential professional resource and the journal of record on issues related to blindness and vision loss. Subscribe now and get immediate access to news from the field, current research and best practice information, and a calendar of events. For more information, go to www.jvib.org.
Now, here's J.J. Meadow.
We are here at CSUN 2014, and I'm with Ted Drake, Cheryl Arana, and Laurie Samuels from Intuit, and Albert Rizzi from My Blind Spot, and we're here to talk about some of the accessibility improvements, big improvements, especially with QuickBooks. Welcome, everybody, to Blind Bargains.
Thank you.
And why don't we start with, I guess, whoever wants to jump in and tell us a little bit about Intuit and accessibility and how things got started.
Sure, I can talk to that. So I joined Intuit in the year 2011, about 3 years ago, and volunteered to take on Intuit-wide corporate accessibility program. Kicked that off and worked across all the different business units at Intuit. We have quite a few products: TurboTax, Mint, Quicken, QuickBooks are some of the better known products. So we worked with all of the product leaders in the company to raise awareness around accessibility and get them to understand how to start working into their development plans, provided some training classes. And so I kind of became identified as a person who knew something about accessibility
Sure.
in the company. And then in the fall of 2011, I got an interesting phone call. Actually, a gentleman named Albert Rizzi, who's here, called into it and was asking about QuickBooks. And I called him back, and that initial conversation was really the beginning of the QuickBooks accessibility project.
So, yeah, obviously QuickBooks and Quicken are programs that have been around for a long time. And so it probably, and obviously, was not an easy task to take a program that's been around for 20 years and...
Not at all.
You know, people have been wanting accessibility to this stuff for many, many years. But so what was the tipping point? Albert, I guess, was the tipping point.
Well, you know, part of it is when Laurie and I first started talking, there was a personal need that I had and a professional need I had for QuickBooks. I'd used it before I lost my eyesight and had found that there were just some issues that precluded me from being able to enjoy it again. And Laurie and I started talking, and then we were joining forces to try and find ways to understand what needed to be done. And we had worked with John Martin, a blind veteran, who was very passionate about working on scripting solutions. And as we tried that route, we realized it wasn't the best way to resolve the problem.
Yeah, we worked for several months. John volunteered time to just work on QuickBooks scripts, so John had also contacted Intuit about the same time Albert did.
Yep.
So initially, I think one of our missteps was trying to focus too much on scripting solutions outside of working on the core product and actually making the underlying engineering changes that we needed to make.
And perhaps also focusing just on one screen reader versus a more...
Right. Right.
Global solution.
But the market demanded, you know.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then as we got deeper into it, you know, with the knowledge and expertise that Laurie brought to the table, we started realizing that, as many people do in the industry, scripting is not a solution for underlying programmatic issues and API issues. And then we started throwing the net a little wider, and Laurie started looking internally at options, and...
So the turning point was actually last year, about this time, in fact, at CSUN, we started to hear more stories from customers like Albert who wanted to use QuickBooks and couldn't and hadn't been able to, or maybe they'd found some workarounds, but it was really pretty painful. And I came away from CSUN last year feeling very strongly that this... We'd always known that this was the right thing to do, but there's a little bit of a difference when you finally realize that this is something we have to do. There was just a sense of ownership of the problem, and that actually gave me the courage to go and approach the executives in charge of the small business division at Intuit and make the case for for really investing in the core product, in QuickBooks Desktop itself. So we scheduled a meeting. I got on their calendar, and we brought Albert out. And the critical success factor there was actually bringing the voice of the customer to the executives and making the case that this was something we needed to fix, and this was essentially our problem. So they actually heard that. It was a fantastic meeting. And that was just about a year ago today.
Yeah.
And that really turned the tide. We got investment, we got funding, we got the opportunity to work directly with Cheryl, who's here, who was on the engineering team and had already been passionate about helping us with accessibility improvements. But now she had additional resources that she could work with in India, and we actually started to get real work done on the engineering team.
So by real work done, I mean, let's be honest, you're doing much of a rewrite of the whole program. It's no small undertaking to build accessibility into a program that's been around for 20 years. You know, obviously we always say that it's easier to do it at the beginning than it is to try to go back and build it in later. So
yeah, it's a great question. In fact, you know, the interesting thing was that we've heard often that, you know, well, why couldn't you just rewrite it? And that really just isn't an option. You have millions of lines of code, you've got 20 years of investment, sunk cost, and you're just not going to rewrite it. So
right.
We had to look at fixing, not rewriting, and kind of surgically fixing. We had to be very careful because you also are talking about a product that's in the hands of millions of customers, so we can't we can't make mistakes there.
Yeah,
we
they had a consumer base you can't upset.
Right.
Create a regression that's going to break something else. So we had to be very careful. Cheryl could probably tell you a little bit more about the technical work that we had to undertake.
Before we get to Cheryl, part of the reasons we got to Cheryl were after Laurie and John and I sat down and we started playing and Ted got involved, there were some obvious issues we saw needing to happen, and we went out and we started looking at people who understood how to rewrite and address the issues based upon the sensitivity we were approaching the 20-year or 25-year-old legacy.
What were some of the issues that you saw?
Well, Stephen Clark was able to find all of those. We reached out to Stephen Clark, and Stephen found some areas, there was a skin around this or a skin around that, and hooks that weren't in place or accessible to the screen reader that allowed for a seamless integration of the software to reach the features in QuickBooks. And then Cheryl came on board, and she took it to a whole level that we were very, very pleased with. So, Cheryl, I'll let you tell the rest of that.
Yeah, so from a technical standpoint, as was given that it was a 20-year-old product as well, it was a mix of technical stacks. So right from C, C++ to .NET, it's been a variety. So when Laurie was talking about actually fixing it, surgically fixing it, what we did was picked up the very core controls that were used on the UI and fixed them individually. So across the product, a lot of controls got fixed. So one of the problems when screen readers were going over the product, they would be unable to pick up data about the controls. For example, it would not be able to detect there was a table on the screen,
sure.
Or it could not detect a control ID. So one of the major things to be fixed in there was to make sure that the control IDs were assigned internally to all these controls, which was being done, but since it was a owner-drawn control, or rather what we called before MSAA was even being used, we needed to actually go back and check those controls the way they were coded and make changes in them. So I would say it was done in a very clean way, at the same time without endangering the rest of the product base. So by
doing it this way, were you able to go through, were these controls, the accessible controls, are they now available throughout the app? Are there certain parts that are more accessible than others? Or?
So whatever has been fixed is available across the product. So you could take it, whether it's a table, whether it's a button, all the UI controls that are there. There are some exceptions which would be making it to QB 2015. We
right.
had to do that based on prioritization. So given to 2015 and it's a desktop product, we also have specific deadlines to meet.
Sure.
So
yeah,
based on that, we had to reprioritize, and Stephen helped us with that.
Yeah.
The good thing is that we focused, we were able to focus on a lot of the critical workflows in the product and begin working our way out from there. So we focused in a narrow way first on just the invoice screen, just to really understand what had to be fixed. And then, as Cheryl said, once we were able to go in there, under the hood and get to those base classes so that they could surface the control ID and reveal that they are a button or a text box, that actually propagated throughout the entire product or a lot of the product. So fortunately, we were able to leverage that. But we covered a lot of the flows. We still have more, you know, again, kind of some peripheral areas that need additional work. We also worked with, as Albert mentioned, a very talented team of Steve Clark and John Martin, who who worked on JAWS scripts that helped smooth out some of that. And we are screen reader agnostic. We're also working with the WindowEyes team and NVDA now.
We also we worked with DeCue to make sure that we had additional resources for Cheryl and QA through DeCue to make sure that we were not introducing any bugs that would affect the general population. When we added the accessibility, we wanted to make sure that we didn't break anything. Mm-hmm. So DeCue's QA resources helped.
Right. And DeCue, that's where Cheryl really was able to direct and guide what we needed to have done at the platform level with the extra assistance that we were all able to champion from DeCue and joining the project.
So that's great. So understanding that QuickBooks 2014 is a product that's available now and perhaps theoretically could have some use, but you have created scripts for that. So how do the scripts enhance the experience?
The scripts basically bridge that minimal digital divide that still exists. As Lori and Cheryl had touched on, we started working on this late in the cycle, so to speak. So when we prioritized certain areas that we were going to be working on, we collected that information from customer service at Intuit, basically saying who calls in to with what issues. And we looked at that 80-20 rule. 80% of the market uses 20% of the program.
Yep.
So where we became more aware of the different areas that required more work at Cheryl's level as opposed to scripting was through the beta testers that we invited to the fold. We had about 40 different testers who some of them got so deeply entrenched into the program. I think there were some areas that even the engineers didn't know existed in QuickBooks. So one of the things that I think Laurie will attest to, and Cheryl and Ted, and anybody on the team, we didn't believe that scripting was a solution to the problem, and we still don't. So where the scripts will be used will to bridge where we were not able to clearly get everything in order in a time that was meeting the deadlines imposed by the corporate structure at Intuit.
Sure.
We basically took it out to the last release that we make, you know, post the big launch in the fall. So we're up to R5 right now, and that is essentially our minimal viable product for accessible QuickBooks, coupled with the scripts for usability. And so we're pretty pleased with where we've gotten. We're excited about knowing what we need to do next in 2015 and being able to get an earlier start on that.
I think the key is that scripts will be needed for usability,
mm-hmm.
because QuickBooks is a very complex program, and the scripts will always help make it more usable.
Well, you know, and this is one of those cases where, you know, people will say that, well, we don't want to create scripts to replace functionality, but when you're coming from a non-visual standpoint, sometimes you would want an alternative interface to express some of the tables and data and, you know, reports that are available. So have you looked at, you know, perhaps for the scripting, are there alternative ways to present some of that information that might be more beneficial?
Yeah, also, for instance, scripting does disable certain elements that make it more complex. Some toolbars that were in the way. Scripting has helped us make it so that the user doesn't have to customize QuickBooks as much. It's doing some of that.
That's pretty much visual candy, right? Like the functions from the toolbars you could get to other ways.
Exactly.
Sure. So obviously a lot of these solutions have come to QuickBooks, which is primarily a tool for a small business user. Is that something that's going to extend down to Quicken or to some of the like TurboTax or some of the other products? Or?
So the good news, TurboTax actually, Ted can speak to, actually is primarily the online product.
Which has worked for a while.
Huge customer base has been in good shape for a while, and there's a really sustained commitment there. Even when I came to Intuit in 2011, they had already made accessibility what they called a no trade-off priority, which is a really great level of commitment. So we were really pleased to see that. Quicken, the Quicken team is co-located in India with the QuickBooks team, so that while it is a completely different code base and a different team, the good news is that we're starting to leverage the resource that we had from DeCue, who worked on the QuickBooks project with us, to also go over to Quicken and do some work there. So we need to, Ted and I have both circled back with the Quicken team, and part of what we want to do is build on success and also show people that it can be done and it's not that hard, and that if you make good decisions and you involve customers early in the process and get the right kind of talent on the team, that you really can make amazing amount of progress in a short amount of time. So that's the lesson we want to carry forward to Quicken as well.
And the one thing that I really appreciate from a business perspective is it was word of mouth. I mean, you can do all the advertising to get people to be aware of or all of the dissemination of information, but what Intuit did internally with Cheryl at the lead was all of this information was shared organically, and now it's becoming a commonly understood discussion going forward, and it's just a really great way to have it all happen by itself rather than imposing it on people.
It's a really interesting model. You know, perhaps you think about writing a paper on this, and, you know, how do you ingrain accessibility culture in a, you know, a company that's been around for a long time and has not used to.
You hire Lori Samuels.
Well, there you go. Really short paper done.
Sorry, I'm brief and to the point.
But you know it is one of the messages I had always kind of espoused, which was I want to see us get it into our DNA, that it's basically just part of our culture. I mean, Intuit has some great things in their DNA. We are very concerned about our customers' privacy. We have a great reputation in the industry around that. Mm-hmm. We're very concerned about security. We're very careful with our customers' data. So we are good stewards of data. We have some very well-founded, good reputation, well-deserved, around certain principles, and I just see this very much aligned with that, and it just simply hasn't been something we're as aware of as we have historically needed to be, but I think that tide is turning. So
I was lucky when I came in to manage accessibility at Intuit that Lori had already established what needed to be done and convinced people that it had to be done. So I was able to come in and say, here's how to do it. And I've been trying to foster more people that own accessibility within their product. For instance, Cheryl. This could not have been done without Cheryl.
Absolutely. No.
It's impossible. Absolutely. So I've been trying to build a team of Cheryls around Intuit.
We actually were trying to...
Do you have a cloning machine?
Technology is really the thing we're working on.
Or at least find someone.
I wish.
I'm trying to find people within products that can be passionate about owning accessibility within their products.
Yeah, I mean, the combination of grassroots passion and executive sponsorship is golden.
Is it good?
It's just that's a sweet spot you want to get to. And so that's what we're working on, and we've had some good success so far.
One of the things, too, is when we're in the disabled community, for lack of a better term, we talk about a universal fix, a universal approach. And I think one of the things that really resonated between me and Lori was an understanding that the blind aren't the only people using assistive or adaptive technologies.
Right.
And we really looked at a holistic inclusion of peoples that covered the gamut of what I use and I think is commonly accepted as the print disabled. And I think once we looked at that larger community of people, there was definitely that perspective of 1 in 5 people know somebody with a disability, and at least I think 1 in 6 or 7 of somebody we know would use an assistive tool. So in order for us to really impact the community, and I think that what really got buy-in and empathy, if you will, rather than sympathy,
right,
was understanding that this was not just for a single community, but it really impacted a larger community of peoples.
One of the interesting statistics that I shared with executives in the small business group was that one-third of small business owners are dyslexic, which is kind of a fascinating statistic, but actually sort of makes sense. And, you know, statistics, 80% of all statistics are not true, but still.
Unless we need them to work for us.
Particular statistic, unless they work for us, exactly.
Yes.
So we use the ones we like. But this one was interesting, and if you think about it, I mean, these might be typically people who had had to kind of find their own way, make their own path. And so the fact that they might be entrepreneurs and small business owners is not really a crazy notion. So, you know, when we talk about print disability, we're talking about people who may have a cognitive issue that just makes it difficult for them to use the printed word on screen. So,
and the fact that, you know, Intuit being a small business tool, I know maybe as people from the community, you know that all too often a lot of these providers and rehab specialists tend to push a disabled person into small business ownership as an option because of inaccessibility in other areas. And anyone who runs a business who's successful at it will tell you that being able to manage your finances is critical. So that was one of the major reasons why, for me, aside from the universal approach to the print disabled, it was an important consideration, because without being able to manage your own finances, you're lost.
For those who may be new, I guess we're most blind people because they aren't, haven't been using QuickBooks, at least the desktop version, before. What type of help system or tutorials are available to transition someone who may have had someone else do their accounting in the past and want to be interested in doing it themselves?
Yeah,
Albert, you got that one.
This is where I really, really need to take my hat off to Lori and the executives at Intuit. We have been put in touch with real-world training Which is the third-party contractor for Intuit and have been doing all of the QuickBooks training for the past 20-some-odd years. And we were put in touch with Trevor Matheson, mm-hmm. who has given us my blind spot, unfettered access to 20 years worth of source documentation. And we are presently working through some new people who we've hired through my blind spot, Vita Zavoli and Richard Kelly, who are rewriting and infusing the keystrokes and commands that complement the work that Stephen and Cheryl and John and Lori and Ted have all been doing. We're about, I would say, 3/4 of the way through that project. And in addition to the tutorials, we're also creating what I like to call our self-paced virtual lesson. We've gotten a few of those on YouTube as examples of what we've done. We've showed them at almost every presentation that Ted and Lori and I have done. And basically what it's going to be is going to be a Cliff Notes version of a feature you want to access. So if you want to learn how to create an invoice,
right.
you could go on and you'll have a virtual guide talk you through who is also blind using the system before you.
So you hear them using it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's also for what we're trying to get to be universal in our approach. There'll be a visual option for people who are low vision to do that as well.
Sure. So if you, I guess one of the biggest questions, of course, is that everyone's going to be, small business owners are going to be wanting to know, though, is how can they get involved with this? How can they get onto the beta? Or, you know, would you just buy QuickBooks 2014 now? Or
Well, right now we're still fine tuning the scripting of the test because we just locked down R5. There were some things that needed to be included in the final release, if I'm saying that right. And we're still, Stephen and John are going to be fine tuning the last bit of the scripting to fill that gap that we couldn't do through Cheryl and her team.
That's like in the next week.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
It's pretty much.
So
you can buy QuickBooks at a store. You can buy it through my Blind Spot. Do an upgrade to get the latest version, and then the scripts will be available through my Blind Spot.
So if you go to myblindspot.org, or if you write to me at info@myblindspot.org, we'll get you what you need. And one of the things that we, because Intuit's gotten so behind the project in a big way, and because as members of the community, you know how much everything costs when it comes to using it, equal to that of our peers, we're going to make sure that it's included in the price of the product as opposed to having to charge anybody extra. We've very much committed to making sure this was going to be accessible to all people, whether or not there was a financial.
What is the typical cost for QuickBooks? I know it ranges between retail.
I think it's about $275 to $300, depending on where
there's
you
different
look
versions
for it.
Of it.
Yeah, yeah, we're looking basically QuickBooks Pro, Enterprise, and Premier.
And those will all be accessible?
All desktop.
Yeah.
So some of the extended features, I guess, you know, like you could do payroll and things like that. Was that working at this point, or is that an additional task that needs to be done?
We're still working on some of the separate business units within Intuit, like payroll. What else, Cheryl?
Payments.
We're working on those.
Yeah, there's a lot of different flavors of QuickBooks.
Go payment.
Well, you see, once we started looking at this holistically, one of the things I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Cheryl and Lori, there's a lot of whether it's departments or third contractors or party, their stuff is pursed out. We realized we had to start talking to the other departments and divisions that, in fact, oversee payroll and other areas.
A lot of things that plug into QuickBooks. Yep.
Which is why it's been such an important conversation to have. And as we started having it, we started seeing areas where the conversation needed to continue. And Intuit's gotten behind that, and evidenced by the fact that we're looking at 2015. So it's a very good thing.
And some of those other components are in various levels of accessibility. Like the applications typically for iOS and Android are in good shape. We're still working and testing on the web and the desktop version.
Which apps are you talking about for the...
Like payroll, GoPayment, inventory... Payments.
But those relate back to the... They don't relate back to desktop.
Yeah, right. they're individual business units, and they're all working on accessibility at their own time, but they've all started.
What about Mint or the QuickBooks Online?
QuickBooks Online we're working on. Mm-hmm. We're still trying to make sure it's keyboard accessible throughout the program. Mint is also working quite hard on making sure...
From my older recollections from using QuickBooks Online, the biggest problem was just a whole bunch of unlabeled graphics here and there.
It's completely different. We're pushing a completely different code set. So the graphics issue is not as much of a problem with the new version as keyboard accessibility.
Gotcha.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And you know, taking that into consideration, where Stephen Clark's involvement was very critical in pointing some of those areas out. And as we open up the discussions with GW Micro, NV Access, and Freedom Scientific, there's going to be a wealth of information that each one of those entities bring to the table to help perfect the next phase of the progression and really live up to that commitment we've made about making sure that everybody can use QuickBooks, because it's a very important tool that's a global leader in the industry. So my goal is to make sure that people can run their own businesses.
That's right. Looking at this technical support and accessibility, some of the major players have started their own accessibility departments or hotlines. Have you guys looked at doing that, or perhaps would my blind spot help us doing technical support for accessibility? Yeah.
He's like reading our notes at home, I swear. Well, you know, one of the things that we're hoping to do is eventually my blind spot is going to be looking to create a training program, a pilot training program where we train very specific end users who are QuickBooks savvy, screen reader savvy, and understand accounting, so that way we could hopefully get them to a point where they can become QuickBooks Pro Advisors, which is a certification that QuickBooks bestows upon people who are versed in every area of their product. And for that time being, in that interim, they'll be able to serve as regional supports if and when a call comes in, and we'll figure out how to escalate that up either through Lori or to whomever, so we can find a way to understand there's going to be a learning curve internally for customer service to address these questions as they're presented, but also have a solution in place for people who are end users who use it, who have been part of the process. So it's in the works. Is that a fair statement, Corey?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, there's definitely more work to be done on the Intuit side with respect to just communications and making sure that the information is out there and available to customers on where to go, how to get, you know, to your earlier question, how to get QuickBooks and scripts and where to you know, get support for that. So we're working through all that. There's definitely kind of Albert speaking to a train the trainer kind of model.
Sure.
But we're...
And we're also working on... communication points. You know, we all, and I'll use the term we used this morning, were a little skeptical and unsure of how successful we were going to be.
Right.
And we also, because we were dealing with a conversation that's been in the works for over a decade or two, did not really take into consideration all the other areas that this one consideration was connected to. So as we started peeling back the layers, the dominoes started to fall, where it hit this one, that one, and that one. And the dominoes are still falling, and there's still attention that needs to be given to other areas that are being spun off from that little center that was QuickBooks.
Well, you know, when it comes to blind business owners and also perhaps anybody in the accounting field, it's also going to be a ramp-up period, because you don't have you don't have nearly as many blind accountants right now.
No.
Because there wasn't...
Well, and that was actually one of our really critical messages to the executives is not only are you talking about empowering business owners who happen to be print disabled or visually impaired, but you're also talking about opening up a field of employment
for the first time
for people who could be or were accountants and bookkeepers using the industry standard product, and now will be able to continue or enter that field. And that is a huge part of the message, that this is actually an employment opportunity as well as direct to small business customer.
I would love to see Intuit work with LinkedIn, you know, because we have Jenison and ourselves, that we can maybe create some kind of ad hoc network to help small business owners and professionals.
That's critical. And that, to Lori's point, and I just, as an educator, as somebody who had master's degrees and trying to give education to people for opportunity, the fact that young children who were blind or visually impaired or print disabled did not have an option or were not supported in complementing their sense of numeracy and looking to accounting or bookkeeping as a field,
right?
There is the future for us. And that's where, when people say, well, there's not going to be a big ROI, there will be over time, I believe, and this is where I become the perpetual optimist. I do think that the kids behind us, the future behind coming up behind us, will be able to then step into a career of their choosing. And if we do this the right way, like my blind spot became a founding member of the IAAP, there's going to be that commitment to creating accessible environments and creating a career path for accessibility, or at least where there is accessibility guaranteeing a career goal. That's the most important part for me. I think sometimes people who have been blind for a long time are going to have a learning curve in accepting the fact that it's accessible and getting past their sense of disbelief. People who have lost their eyesight late in life, like myself, will now be able to say, oh, I can still do what I used to do as an accountant or a bookkeeper. But to the point of Lori is that the kids, for the first time, are going to be able to pursue these careers. And if we have this conversation correctly with people like Morgan Stanley and JP Morgan Chase, which has been doing fantastic work in accessibility already, people will then be able to look at becoming financial managers across the board, because the conversation or the expectation of accessibility in QuickBooks and at Chase, at banking at Chase, will be a seamless integration for a variety of options.
JJ, I wanted to interact just a little bit. Cheryl, recently we went to a conference in India about employment of people with disabilities in India, and Cheryl had some really good meetings and insights on the future of employment, the future of small businesses with people with disabilities in India. Do you want to? I'm putting Cheryl on the spot.
It's a global message that needs to be heard, Cheryl. Go.
It's actually very interesting. So at TechShare, they brought in a lot of folks, you know, across the country in India, who were presenting different options that they had and how they've made it big. In fact, there's one institute, I think, somewhere close to New Delhi, which specializes in training hearing impaired and making sure that they have employment opportunities. So it was very interesting to see how they reached out to Intuit saying, so this has been done on products. Do you have any thoughts as to how you want to expand it on the employment side? Mm-hmm. So it was very interesting to see how they're bringing things into a new dimension, because technology has been very good in India, but it hasn't been so widely adopted. If I were to compare it, say, over here, the way people are receptive to technology. So I saw that as a very huge difference that, you know, conferences like that are making people a lot more aware of it. And that was very useful.
Great. That is really cool to hear. If people want to get more information and follow the progress, what's the best way to do that?
They can follow me. This is Ted Drake with Ted_Drake on Twitter. I do send out a lot of information, not specifically about this project, but others. Otherwise, info@myblindspot.org.
Yes.
Yeah, My Blind Spot will have most of the information.
Yeah. We have an active group doing beta testing now with the QuickBooks, and so Albert's been running that distribution list, and we definitely welcome and want to have continued customer feedback.
Then, if I can just leave us with one thought,
sure,
or at least a thought that I want to, I really would like to take my hat off, quite honestly, to Intuit for taking the steps necessary and allowing this to happen organically. I mean, one of the things we didn't touch on here is Lori sits on the Disability Council, which
Ted
is,
also.
And Ted, I'm yep. sorry, and Ted also, which is a newly formed organization or department or committee, whatever you want to call it, within Intuit. And the commitment that they've made to really make accessibility and inclusion a part of their everyday DNA is really to be commended, and something that I would like to see a lot of other corporations match, if not excel.
Yeah, and part of what Lori and I are working on is diversifying our workforce. We're looking for programmers, yeah. We're looking for accountants, we're looking for people that want to join into it as an employee.
You know, there's opportunities, and we hire accountants in tax. They are part of the support and the development team. So we hire people with tax accounting expertise. We hire people, obviously, all across the company, all different functional groups, human resources, engineering, quality, all of those are opportunities, and we are definitely looking to diversify.
And where are the offices located?
So there is the company's headquarters are in Mountain View, California, in the Bay Area, and also an office in San Francisco and Menlo Park. So we have several offices in the Bay Area. Then we have a large presence in San Diego, which is where a lot of the TurboTax development happens. We have offices in Boston, Plano, Texas, Tucson, Arizona, and
Toronto, Edmonton,
DC. Up in Canada, and then another large development center in Bangalore, India, as well as some smaller satellite offices.
Is there a specific spot where some of these jobs might be posted, or should they just contact you guys?
Yeah, careers.intuit.com, and I have tested it several times. It's pretty accessible. It is easy to find a job.
Yeah.
to, right, not necessarily even accessibility related jobs, but even jobs.
Yeah,
just,
yeah, correct. Absolutely. Specifically, you know, we want people to be part of the workforce. We're not looking for accessibility experts. Yeah. We're looking for people to be position within Intuit.
Right, and sometimes a lot of people get put in that box, like, oh, you want to work for us? Okay, we're going to make you our accessibility person.
Right. That's a beautiful thing. They don't put the label on you that way. They look at the ability of the individual and what they bring to the table, and their physical attributes or whatever the whatever we want to call their challenges are secondary.
What's the best company perk?
Working with Laurie Samuels and Ted and Cheryl.
We don't have crazy perks, but the fact that we beat Google as the most preferred workplace, I mean, we get taken very good care of.
Yeah, we do. It is an awesome place to work. It has a great culture, a lot to work with there. Our CEO, Brad Smith, has used this phrase that I kind of like, says that we are constructively dissatisfied. And that means that we do appreciate our progress and when we have success, but we're always looking to do better. And it's a great mindset actually in the company. So, and we also talk about our true north direction, which is about customers, employees, and shareholders. And so we always talk about all three when we're making goals and plans and strategies. So, and accessibility fits really beautifully into that. So.
I joined Intuit as the accessibility guy because Intuit is very customer focused. And they actually mean that. It's not like a lot of companies that say they care about the customer. Intuit really does care. So it's easy for me to convince teams to make their products accessible because we care about customers. And I think that's one reason why a lot of us work at Intuit.
Great. Hey, thank you so much for sharing all these insights.
I
really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the chance.
Blind Bargains is your home for the latest assistive technology news and reviews. Visit us at blindbargains.com or follow Blind Bargains on Twitter for the inside scoop.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys. Copyright 2014.